Is he the source of your strength today? I was just thinking that. So often I like to go off on my own and try to brunt my way through life like I'm strong enough. But he says, come. And he can be our source of strength every day. If you guys would like to stand with me this morning, we're going to worship together.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name.
Let's do that verse again.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. So bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship Your holy name. Your in love and you're slow to anger. Your name is great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness I will keep on singing. There's 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. So bless the strength is failing, the end draws near, and my time has come. Still, my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. So bless the Lord, oh my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship Your holy name. I'll worship Your holy name.
for this day. I thank you for the blessed assurance that we do have if we have chosen to accept you as our Lord. We bless your name this morning, and we just pray that you would have your way in this service, that you would speak to us, and that we would receive fresh perspectives, changed hearts. So we just give this day to you, and we thank you so much for what you did for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
That song, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. When I hear that song when I was a kid, there was a show on there. I can't remember what it was. What this little kid came on there, had little adventures. It's like Timmy or something, his dog or whatever it was, anyway.
David and Goliath,
that's what it was. So whenever time I hear that song, I think of that program, that little David and Goliath show, which is really kind of a neat thing to think back. Those programs we have, look at the TV nowadays, there's a lot of stuff on there you don't want to watch. And so I usually watch like the old westerns and stuff like that, where they're not the best either, but you know, not always language in there and things like that. So, anybody have a prayer request this morning?
Larry Pruitt called me before I came to church this morning. Fran's fell again.
Okay.
She's in Madison County Hospital.
So Fran's in Madison County Hospital. She fell. So if you want to see her. And get over and visit her.
My daughter has found a knot on her neck, and they've done an ultrasound and blood work. Just pray that it all comes back negative.
So her daughter has a knot on her neck, so pray for that. We're not sure what it is. Just pray for good news. Anything else? Randy.
Went in and used the bathroom. And started bleeding. And I never bled before. Only during major surgery. I've never experienced it in 74 years other than major surgery. My wife, Tina, called her brother, Walker, in Eastern Kentucky, a man of God, a healer, who walks with Jesus. During that prayer, I was healed. He asked me to call him. I wasn't going to, but I did. He said, Randy, I remember now, this is the first man I've ever met in the field of family when I was dating Tina. He lived in Lincoln Village North. And he found God after he left Columbus. And I've never bled since, but it was a very scary thing as a man to go through that episode as a man. So God is still in the healing business. Mm-hmm. And for people who don't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior are missing out on an opportunity because you can't make it through this life. There's too many trials and tribulations. Mm-hmm. And that's why we pray for the church, life in Christ, that will always stand on a hill with a shining light. Thank you.
Amen. Pat?
Tuesday morning, I'll go to the doctor to consider having a shoulder replacement on this shoulder. It's the only thing they can do for it.
Okay. So shoulder replacement possibility. They're going to look at it and see if they can give her a new part.
Part.
P-A-R-T. Part. Did not say heart. Okay, let's pray this morning. Father, we just thank you for bringing us here. You've heard these requests, Lord, for healing to take place. I'm in a little knot in the neck. Thank you for healing for Randy. For Fran, Lord, be with her. Think of Dee and Donna as well. And think of Lois Proper this morning. And just other ones, Lord, that we have in our congregation that may be sick and not doing well. Pray you be with them physically, Lord. Pray also for their spiritual healing. There may be those here this morning, Lord, that are feeling maybe far away from you or don't know you. Pray that you'd bring them close by your Holy Spirit, that they can know who you are. They can experience, Lord, your love and your forgiveness. They can live for you. Pray for those that have emotional needs as well, financial, whatever it may be. Pray you'd be with them this morning, Lord. Be with us as we hear this special music and as we hear your word. We ask in Jesus' name.
They tell me of a home far beyond the skies. Oh, they tell me of a home far away. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day. Oh, the land of cloudless days.
For a few minutes to share about Gideon's. So Brent McNally, it's all yours.
Amen. Amen. I was about to ask, if you wanted me to play the guitar and sing. And then I thought, no, you really don't want that. So we won't even worry about that. My wife, Frances, and I are here today. And our friend, Linda Manning, is with us today. We just came from the State Gideon Convention, which is a really nice event. It's really a nice event to go to, you know. And I was really excited about getting there, you know. And so, you know how, like, when you're packing and everything, you know, you're in a hurry and you throw your clothes in a suitcase and you get them in the car and you get everything laid out and you take off. Well, you know what? The neat part about that is that all of my Gideon notes and everything that I usually have with me or new notes that I make are still sitting at home. So this could be really a short presentation today. You know, what's the greatest thing that you have? That you have. The greatest thing that you have, hopefully, is your testimony about the Lord Jesus Christ and about what he's done in your life. And that's what the Gideons are all about. Gideons are about seeing people saved so that they can stand to give their testimony about who they are and what they do. At this weekend's conference, I heard a testimony by a lady by the name of Sandy Boyd. I don't know Sandy, but she stood, you know, nice-looking lady, you know, well-dressed, you know, and she started talking about her life. And here's what she said. She said, you know, my sister, we grew up in a home in Southern California. Said, but our grandmother witnessed to us and told us all about witchcraft and about how much fun it was to be in witchcraft. She said at the age of 9, her father and mother, who were also into the demonic spirits, introduced them to drugs and alcohol and other things. So she said by the age of 11, she was into prostitution, and she was hooked on drugs. Now think about that. At the age of 11, you've got your children and, your granddaughter hooked. Well, she said her life went on like that. At the age of 16, she married a guy. They had a little boy. 2 years later, they divorced. He got the little boy. She was right back into her former lifestyle. She got married again, had a little girl, 2 years old, divorced again. This time she had the little girl. And she said that one evening, you know, the demon showed up at the foot of her bed. Now, whether we want to believe in demons or not is not the issue. The issue is that they showed up at her bed. And they told her that she was supposed to start teaching her daughter the ways of the demonic spirits. And she said she couldn't do it. She couldn't do it. So she got out of bed, got her daughter, said she survived the night. But things just continued spiraling downward after that. So her daughter was in the process of being taken away by the courts. She said she got in her car with the idea that enough was enough. She was now in her early 20s. Her life was completely shot. She had no way of income except for the prostitution. And she said she reached in her pocket, in her jacket, had her car running that she thought that she would commit suicide. And she said she pulled out a card. And she said this card had the name of a Gideon on it. And she said she knew that that had been a card that had been given to her by a drug dealer. And she said, and then she reached back in her pocket again, and she pulled out, just like what most Gideons do, one of these little Bibles, just like this, the one with the one that says about 3 pages in from the front, the help section. Guys, I'm telling you, all of us need a little help once in a while, don't we? No matter who we are, we need a little help. Sometimes things don't go our way, but she said, in time of need, okay, what do I need? Well, I've been addicted. I've been close to death. I've been afraid. I've been abused. And she started reading that and started reading the scriptures. Well, finally, when she read all the way through, she got to the back. And in the back of every Testament or full Bible is the plan of salvation. Easiest way in the world to lead somebody to Christ. Now, our God, through the Holy Spirit, does the leading. But we have the chance to tell people about Christ, don't we? We do. For God so loved the world. Well, everybody wants to be loved, don't they? Everybody, no matter who they are. You know, for the wages of sin is what? Is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Right? And it just goes right on down the list until you get to the idea where with an open heart you can pray and receive Christ into your heart, and guess what? Things will change. It's just not praying the prayer. It's believing in the heart. You know, with the mouth confesses, but with the heart we believe, right? And that's who the Gideons are. Gideons are, our whole goal is not in the idea of passing out Bibles, even though we do pass out Bibles. About 74 million this year, worldwide. But that's not what our goal is. Our goal is one-on-one witnessing with people so that people will become saved and set free of the burden of sin so that they'll know Christ as their personal Savior. And if you don't know Christ as your personal Savior today, I want to talk to you. And we'll have a good conversation. And it's important to know that. You know, how many of you ever heard of George and Martha? Who do you think of when you hear George and Martha? Think of George Washington, don't you? Well, this is different George and Martha. This is George and Martha from Cleveland, Ohio, who were married for 18 years and who did not like each other. How can you be married for 18 years and not like each other? They had three children. They decided they'd go on vacation and go to California. You know, the land of one of the guys this weekend, our pastor at the banquet this weekend said, well, California's become the land of fruit and nuts. I don't know what he was talking about, but that's what he said. Land of fruit and nuts. Anyway, they went to California, you know, and they got separate rooms, and they fought the whole time whenever they would see each other. They finally decided, we're going to divorce. So both of them left separately, came back to Cleveland, Ohio, started the proceedings of divorce. Well, you know, and most people think of the Gideons as those folks that put Bibles in hotels, don't they? That's what they think of the Gideons. You put them in hotels. How about 74 million? About 10 million of those are hotel Bibles. The rest are Bibles just like this, placed one-on-one around the world in over 200 countries. So they came back, and the husband called his wife. George called Martha, said, Martha, I don't believe this is what we ought to be doing. He said, you know, I took this Bible placed by the Gideons in my hotel room, and he said, and I brought it home. It's important to understand, when we put things in hotels, we want people to take them, because we'll put more in there. But we want people to take them. Well, Martha said, well, you're not going to believe this, but I was thinking about calling you, because I brought that Gideon Bible that was in my room with me, and here we are. Well, they reconciled, and now they're doing pastoral work. That's what is that? That's the power of our God. That's the power of our God, whose whole goal is what? To see you have a better life, a more purposeful life, a full life, a life that changes, you know, that gives you the opportunity to go out and be a witness for somebody other than yourself. And you get to do more than just watch Gunsmoke like I like to watch, or by the way, I do like Gunsmoke. Does my heart good to hear somebody else, and it's a heathen just like me. You know, we are the Gideons. We are all over the world. We have 276,000 members that go door to door, face to face, in places that most people can't go, in prisons and jails, in hospitals, and in sanctuaries. The ladies go out, the auxiliary. They go out, they go to doctor's offices and dentist offices and lawyer's offices. Yes, they do. Crisis pregnancy centers, absolutely. We go all over sharing the word, and that's what we do. We share the word, and we ask people about their relationship with Christ, and that's who we are. So there are some things that you can always do for the Gideons, okay? Number one. You can pray for the Gideons. Pray for the ministry of Gideons International. It's made up of men and women who've got blood in their veins just like you, who have the same faults, the same issues, everything else that we all have, the same struggles. But we're all living and wanting to live close to Christ. And so you can pray for us. Pray for us. Put us on your prayer list and pray for Gideons International, okay? Now, the church was very generous with us today, and they gave us an honorarium check. But if you'd like to give some money to the Gideons, we'll certainly take it. You know, I ate this morning down at McDonald's right down the road here because I had a little extra time, you know, and you can tell that I like the big breakfast, you know. Well, $18 later, you know, I mean, $18, you know, time, you know. Anyway, that being said, $18 will buy 5 Bibles. That'll be placed somewhere in either in Madison County or in Franklin County or in Greene County or somewhere else around the world. What's it worth? What's it worth to you, okay, for a Bible to be placed? Think about that. Think about that for a minute, how much money we spend in different places. So you can pray for us. You can support us. You can join us. Men, we need you. If you're a business or professional, men, that's anything from a salesman to a rocket scientist or a brain surgeon, we need you. Okay? I'm sorry? Yep, farmers and teachers, you know. I don't even have to think. See, I haven't had to drive in years. Francis sits over there and tells me how to drive. Oh, my. We need your support. We need you to come and join us. Men, if you have any interest in doing something outside the church, or ladies, we want you to come, please, because we need you, you know. The world is lost and it's dying, and we want to see people saved and going to heaven. So we need you. Also, in my booklet at home, you know, or in my briefcase, I have cards. We have a Gideon card program. It's a great program. It says that you can buy a card, you know, or you use one of the cards. You know, you go to Hallmark, get a card. $5-6, right? Well, we'll get you a rack out here on the wall that's got 4 different types of cards in it. One would be like thinking of you, in honor. Maybe you want to honor your pastor, honor somebody that's graduating from school, or honor somebody just because you like them, you know? In memory cards of somebody may have passed on to glory. So, It's a great way. What you do is that you get the card for free, and if you send in $5, we'll send a Bible out. It's a great deal. So I'll close with this. Dale and Phyllis were a nice young couple. You know, they had 3 children. They had everything the world could give them. He was a little business owner, owned a little Marathon oil station, okay? Nice couple, you know, but the demons of being in the war didn't affect them. And so he came home and he started into the idea of alcohol and different things, and it got worse and worse all the time until his family was separated. They were deprived. He became a man who, in his business, he stole money and ran off to Florida and tried to join the Merchant Marines. And you know, you can just understand, you know, he abused every bit of his family, his wife, his children. To the point that it was merciful, you know, it was terrible. It was what you can't imagine, you know, to have his children would look down the end of loaded shotguns and you could see the shells and you'd think, this is crazy. Well, anyway, one day in a little motel, in a flea-bitten motel where he was, where he'd lost his business, lost all of his friends. You know, when you have no money, you have no friends. And he lost it all. And he was there, and he had bought himself a little revolver and a fifth of whiskey, and he was going to get drunk, and then he was going to take his life and be done with it because of the pain of his life was terrible. He'd lost everything. And he found one of those Bibles that we talked about, placed by the Gideons. And he read it, and he read it, and he read it. And he called his wife, who knew that he was a drunk, knew that he was an abuser, knew that he was a con man and a liar, and said, hey, they're having a revival down the street. I'd like for you to come. And she said, just what you would expect her to say. I'm not going anywhere with you. You know, you're crazy. Well, anyway, he got drunk again on that particular day, and the next day he called her again and said, I really would like for you to come. And what happened was that when that she went that night, sat on the back row, back where you are, sir, because she figured he'd come in stumbling drunk and from a small town, and everybody would know what was going on. And he came in, and he came to the front, and he sat down on the altar. You know what? We always think that people always know that you're supposed to kneel at the altar, right? Well, guess what? He came in and he sat down just like this. And he held up his Bible that he got in that motel room, and he said, if this is real, I've got to have it. Pastor invited his wife to come down. They were both gloriously saved. They took him out to Beaver Creek. They broke the ice. They baptized him. And it started a whole chain in their whole family. Now, where do the sins of the fathers go to? Sins of the fathers go to the second and third generation, but righteousness prevails to 1,000 generations, right? Well, anyway, that was my dad. And the point is that what his sins were became my sins. It often happens, doesn't it? Often happens. But guess what? My God knows the beginning, but he knows the end. Doesn't he? My father was saved. My mother was saved. They started praying for me. 10 years later, I was saved. A year later, my wife was saved. I led my brother to Christ. My wife led her whole family to Christ. That's the goodness of my God. Why? Because a Bible was placed by somebody who was willing to give $5 so that it could be placed in a motel so that a drunk and a wife abuser, a liar and a con artist could pick it up and read it. And guys, that's what you can do. You supply the money, we'll supply the Bibles. I want to thank you.
Good morning, everyone. Just heard about the Gideons this morning, some stories. Not made-up stories, true stories. Lives can be changed by the Word of God. It can be in a hotel, it can be a student, a soldier, every person. Because God's Word is important, and it can guide our lives and change us and bring us hope when we have none. We're going to be in Psalm 119 this morning, if you want to turn there. A site called Enduring Word tells us the author is unnamed. They think it could be David, but they're not really sure if it's David, but it doesn't really matter if we know the name or not, does it? It's the psalm that's important. And if we're important enough for God to let us know it was David, that's fine. If not, that's okay. But no matter who the author was, it was likely written over a period of time because there's not a definite flow from the beginning to the end. But every part in Psalm 119 talks about the Word of God. I don't know if you notice that or not, but go through that and see how much of that talks about the Word of God. It's an acrostic pattern. There are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. And this psalm contains 22 units and 8 verses each and 22 sections. So it's referred to in almost every verse is Word. It's mentioned in 171 of the 176 verses. I didn't know that before. Did you know that before? Pretty amazing, isn't it? So the psalm deals with God's Word. We're going to just start at verse 124 because there's not enough time for this morning or this week to go through all 176 verses. I mean, if you want, we can stay and we can start and do that, but I'm just going to read a little bit from starting in verse 124. So if you didn't have your Bible or your phone or whatever you're going to use, you can ask the Gideons. They'll give you one probably this morning if you need one. But starting in verse 124. Deal with your servant according to your steadfast love and teach me your statutes. I'm your servant. Give me understanding and that I may know your testimonies. It's time for the Lord to act, for your law has been broken. Therefore, I love your commandments above gold, above fine gold. Therefore, I consider all your precepts to be right, and I hate every false way. Your testimonies are wonderful. Therefore, my soul keeps them. The unfolding of your words gives light, it imparts understanding to the simple. I open my mouth and pant because I long for your commandments. Turn to me and be gracious to me, as is your way with those who love your name. Keep my steps according to your promise. Let no iniquity get dominion over me. Redeem me from man's oppression, that I may keep your precepts. Make your face shine upon your servant and teach me your statutes. My eyes shed streams of tears because people do not keep the law. If you look in there, I went through and highlighted a lot of parts. They talk about his word, promise, precepts, statutes, law, all those things like that. It's also called testimony, his commandments, his promise. So he's asking us, the psalmist is asking to deal with us according to his love, not according to what we deserve, right? For his grace, for his mercy to be with us. And he wants to know what God says so he can live by it. So how do we know what God wants us to do? We look in his word, don't we? We read it, we study it, we memorize it. Some of us have better memories than others, but if you do it enough times, you'll remember it. Even if you just take one verse and memorize that. He wants to serve the Lord and know what God says. And he wants to understand his words and testimonies and his directions. Have you ever read through the word and didn't understand what was going on? You're like, what is he talking about? And then you read it another time later on, and you're like, yeah, this makes sense. So when you're reading the word, sometimes we need to ask the Holy Spirit to direct us, to enlighten us so we can understand what's being said. There's commentaries, there's other Christians you can talk to that have read it before you that may be able to explain it to you. He wants the Lord to act because his law or word has been broken. Have we seen that today? God's law or word's been broken over and over and over again with things that are happening. If you don't think it's happening, just turn the TV on for maybe an hour, and you'll see it all over the place. His word, his commandments, his laws, his precepts, what he wants us to do is being broken. He says he knows God's word is right and he hates what's wrong. Sometimes we get kind of callous, I think, in some of our things. I'm thinking about TV shows used to be on. You'd have to go to bed, you know, and then after 11 o'clock they had maybe somebody with a bathing suit on or something like that, you know. Not nowadays. You can turn around at 7 o'clock in the morning and there's stuff in there. You're like, why in the world is this on my TV? It's kind of got callous. People kind of drifted away from what was right and what's morally correct. They've just kind of let it go. And some of it is because they don't want to hear the opposition or stand up to the opposition and say, this isn't right. It says, the testimonies of the Lord himself keep him steadfast, stable and true, so he keeps them in his heart. So God's word guides us and directs us. And we have a question about what we should do or how we should do something. If it's right or wrong, we need to ask God what he says. Just because everybody else says it's right doesn't mean it's right. I don't know if you ever found that out, but sometimes your friends will tell you to do something and it's not right. And you're like, I know this is wrong. And maybe you're the one out of the whole group that says, well, I'm not going to do this. He says he knows the Holy Spirit guides him and is able to see and understand the scriptures. He's enlightened and he can understand. Well, reading something and understanding it are two different things, aren't they? You can read all kinds of things but not understand what it means. You can say the words and not understand what they mean. Somebody can say something to you and you don't understand what it is. Zdravo, kako ste, dobro utro. You're like, what? I said, hey, how are you? Good morning. What if I said that all the time in Macedonian? You'd not understand a word that I said. It wouldn't benefit you at all. So you need to know what the word is and understand what it is so you can apply it and use it in your life. I like this part where he says he longs for God's direction. He says he pants for it. I think of the deer panting for the water. I think of a runner panting for air after a race. You need it desperately. Okay, so if you're panting for something, that means you want it. When a dog is panting, he needs it to cool off. He asks God to be gracious and merciful towards him as one who loves his name. Somebody can show you mercy but not love you, and is that really going to be mercy? Or is that pity? He said, be merciful to me. Treat me kindly. Treat me nicely. Think about my soul and treat me that way. It says, keep my feet steady as I stand on your promises. Keep me from sinning as I depend on you. Do you have any verses placed around different places in your house or car? Car is probably the best one to put it in nowadays, right? When somebody pulls out in front of you or does whatever things, or maybe you could think to yourself, maybe that could be me that I just did that to that person. He says, help me not be pressured by others who don't believe in you so I can follow your word. A lot of pressure out there today, isn't there? To do what society says and not what God says. But it's starting to come around where people are starting to stand up and saying, this is not right. We're not going to put up with this. We're not going to do this. Call me a terrorist if you want, but I'm going to the school board and I'm going to tell them you're not going to teach this to my kids. It says, make your face shine on me and show me your approval, your favor, your blessings, and teach me your words. The last verse says, my eyes shed tears because people don't follow God's laws or his word of the Bible. He's troubled because he sees people disobeying God. You can see it everywhere, can't you? People doing what God doesn't want them to do. I like verse 130. The unfolding of your words gives light and imparts understanding to the simple. That's all of us, isn't it? We're all just simple people trying to live, trying to get through life, trying to make it through the next day. But we need God to get us there, don't we? You can't do it on your own strength. Jesse talked about this morning. I can't pull my way through. You can try that, but you're only going to get so far. It's not going to work. You need God to guide and direct you and be with you. So this morning, I'm going to look at a few things about God's Word, and I'm going to make it quick for you. Here's a question for us this morning. What benefits do we get from reading, memorizing, and obeying God's Word? I listed some of these on here for you to look at this morning. A person called Stacy Salisbury was an author of an article that she wrote, and there was like 20 some of these. I took, I think, 16 of them. What are the benefits when we read, memorize, and obey God's Word? It leads to joy. It says, blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart. This is all coming from Psalm 119, all these things. The New Translation says blessed can also mean joyful or happy or joy-filled. And who doesn't need to have some kind of joy in your life today with all the stuff going on? It can help us stay pure. Verse 9 says, how can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. Verse 24, your testimonies are a delight and they are my counselor. So God offers us counseling, doesn't he? He knows everything. And we have counselors that do a good job, but God's the ultimate counselor. You need to go to him for counseling as well. It guards against self-seeking. It says, incline my heart to your testimonies and not to selfish gain. It's in verse 36. How many people are in it for selfish gain? For what you can get out of it? Whether it's money, whether it's power, whether it's position, whatever it may be, they're in it for themselves. What can I get out of this? That's what people ask a lot of times, you know, what am I going to get out of this? What's in it for me? We should be saying, what's in it for God? What can I do for him? It gives us hope. Verse 43, take not your word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for my hope is in your rules. You know, rules and laws and statutes are good. They give us boundaries to stay within. If you ever were in school, as a teacher, at least anyway, it's good to have rules and policies that everybody follows, that the board follows, so you know how far you can go. And actually, I think kids and people like rules, so you know how far you can go. Otherwise, no rules, there's chaos. We've seen it before. Some of the things that have happened in the past few years, right? The protests and things, no rules. Do what you want, break what you want, shoot people, steal things. No rules. Nobody's comfortable with that. It grants us freedom. Verse 45, I shall walk in a wide place, for I have sought your precepts. What does that mean to you? I can walk in a wide place. That means you can walk around wherever you want, because it gives you freedom. There's freedom within rules. There's freedom within God's Word. You know what the Word is, and you can use it and direct it and share it to other people. It brings comfort in affliction. Anybody been afflicted? Hurt, abused, battered, insulted? Verse 50, this is my comfort in my affliction, that your promise gives me life. The good thing is, this is not the end. This is only getting ready for the beginning of your eternal life, your beginning of life with the Lord in heaven. So you may have been afflicted and hurt, but it's not going to last forever. It's only for a short time. But he gives us comfort through his promises. It's an anchor of truth amid a sea of lies. Any lies going on out there? You hear any lies happening? Coming up about November time? We're going to hear all kinds of them, aren't we? What's happening? What's true and what's not true? Verse 69 says, the insolent smear me with lies, but with my whole heart I keep your precepts. Just because people tell lies about you doesn't mean it has to be true. Anybody ever had lies told about them that was not true? And the wisdom is, your friends will know the truth. No matter what anybody else says, your friends are going to know the truth and you know the truth. It allows us to be an example for others. Verse 79, let those who fear you turn to me that they may know your testimonies. So we're supposed to be an example to others. Does that mean we never fail? No. That means when we fail, we do the right thing. We go to the Lord, we confess to that person, whatever it is, we make things right, and then we stand up and we keep moving. Through God's grace, we keep going on. It offers hope while we wait. It says, my soul longs for your salvation. I hope in your word. Did you ever have to wait for anything? I remember years ago on the internet, bing, bong, bing, remember all that stuff? You tried to sign on? These people today have no idea what waiting is. Now it's like, man, it took me 3 seconds to get on this computer. It's the slowest thing I've ever used. My dude, it took me 5 minutes to get on the computer years ago. The computer was as big as a room when they first built it. The ENIAC is what it was called. And now you have it on your watch. Right? But we still don't want to wait. You get in line somewhere, and if it's more than 3 minutes at McDonald's, you're like, this place is worthless. I'm going somewhere else. You ever done that? I did it the other day. There's four cars in front of me. They weren't moving. So I went to Wendy's. But we're taught to be impatient. And that affects our lives as well. That affects our relationships. Everything can't happen fast. It takes time to learn what God wants. It takes time to follow His word. It takes time to learn what people want and to get to know somebody. You can't have a McDonald's marriage. You get married today, it's too fast. Well, I'm getting out of this. I'm going to Burger King. But that's what relationships are like nowadays. Right? People don't want to wait. But our hope is in the salvation, waiting for salvation for God. It sustains us during hard seasons. Verse 92. If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. We got to delight in God's laws. We can't delight in things. Because things change, people change. We've got to delight in God's laws and what God tells us and His promises. It gives wisdom and understanding. Verse 99. I have more understanding than all my teachers. Your testimonies are my meditation. Education is great, but it doesn't make you a genius. There's some people with PhDs that are idiots. Okay? They don't know. Just because they have a degree doesn't mean they know everything, but we think they do. God can teach us things that schools can't teach. His word can show us things that we can find that the smartest person doesn't know. Look at the apostles, right? Did all those guys go to college? Nope. But they were used powerfully, weren't they? You know why? Because they submitted themselves to Him. They were willing to be used. And He gave them wisdom and understanding. It lights the path we should take. It says, your word's a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. We read His word for direction. Let's have three more. I'm shortening this for you because I know you're going to complain, my roast is burning or whatever it's going to be, but this is more important right now. If your roast burns, buy another one for $45. It keeps us from falling into the enemy's traps. Verse 110, the wicked have laid a snare for me, but I do not stray from your precepts. There are a lot of traps to get caught into out there. On the internet, businesses, relationships, all kinds of things you get sucked into that seem legitimate until you get caught into it. Right? And then it may become a pattern or a lifestyle, and then you're stuck until you find a way out. It acts as a shield around us. Verse 114, you're my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word. His word's our defense, and it's never going to fail us. And this enemy is tempting you, quote Scripture, right? That's what Jesus did, didn't he? Enemy tried to tempt him, he quoted Scripture. When you're feeling tempted by something or led astray, quote Scripture. Turn away, walk away, turn it off. And the last one, it gives us peace. Verse 165. Great peace have those who love your law. Nothing can make them stumble. You ever need a time when you just need peace? You just need to like turn everything off. Turn off your phone, turn off your computer, turn off the TV, turn off the radio if you still listen to radio. And just sit there quietly or go somewhere quietly and just have some peace where nobody's talking to you, nobody's telling you what to do, nobody's trying to sway your opinion, nobody's trying to sell you something. And you can just think for a minute, right? What's important in my life? Who are the people that are important to me? What does God want me to do? Who can I be sharing with? Who do I need to talk to that I haven't talked to for a while? And kind of get your thoughts together. Because he's made our souls live in accordance with him. His word has to be a priority if we're going to find refuge and peace. I'm glad this morning for the Gideons. I used to be a Gideon when I was a school teacher. And think about passing those Bibles out to kids and all those hotel rooms. I didn't know you could take them, so I'll tell my friends now if they find a Gideon Bible, they can take it. Just so I didn't know that, so I thought you had to leave them there. But it's good that you can do that, right? They can have a Bible. And we can be part of distributing Bibles and passing Bibles out and funding Bibles and things like that. So I learned a few things this morning I didn't know. Maybe I didn't get the whole story when I was a Gideon, but I knew we passed out Bibles. I knew that's what we did. But all these lives that are changed, maybe it's just a word. Maybe it's something you say to somebody. Maybe it's an act of kindness that you showed them. And they may say to you, why did you do that? Well, I'm a Christian. Yeah, I know Christians are like that. No, they're not. You can't judge all Christians by one person that was bad in your life that maybe made a mistake or did something wrong. We don't do that with doctors and lawyers and teachers, do we? Well, this one teacher I had was horrible, so you're all bad. Everybody's an individual. God uses us differently. We've all had bad experiences at times, but we can make good experiences out of those and we can go on. Your parents' life, your sins of your father don't have to be yours. Right? How do we know that? Look back at your life. What were your parents? My mom and dad were alcoholics for a while. Been through divorces, all kinds of things. So I should have been an alcoholic. We should be divorced now. My name's really George and hers is Martha, in case you wanted to know. But just kidding. So thank God for his word this morning. Spread his word any way you can, whether it's verbally, whether it's through finances, whatever it is. Because it's important. It's enduring. It's never going to go away. It's an investment in eternity, isn't it? Hopefully somebody else's life can be changed by something you're allowed to do. So let's pray. Father, thanks for the word this morning. Thanks for that testimony and the sharing of the Gideons. Thanks for the special music, for the choir, for the songs we had this morning. Lord, let us know that your word is important. We need to read it. We need to learn about it. We need to study it. We need to share it. Lord, I know we all feel like we never do enough. Just give us a desire to be more in tune with you, a hunger for your word that we haven't had before that we can share with those who are thirsting. We just pray in your name. Amen.
Just stand with me for this last chorus of Cornerstone. As a prayer.